This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. The tragic death last year of a Bronx teenager in a residential juvenile facility upstate brought fresh scrutiny to how New York deals with its young offenders. And here's what we learned. 70% of the 2,000 children committed to state facilities are from New York City. They are overwhelmingly children of color and are often from the city's poorest neighborhoods. This week, the Spitzer administration announced a major reorganization of the entire juvenile detention system, including the closing of a facility in the Bronx and five others across the state. With us now to talk about what these changes will do is Gladys Carrion, commissioner of the state's Office of Children and Family Services, which oversees the juvenile detention system. Welcome, Commissioner, to WNYC.
Thank you.
This move is expected to save $16 million annually, but is that what this is about, saving money?
No, it really is not about saving money. This is something that really is not tied to any financial concerns, though the state is really challenged this year with its budget. But this is really about transforming the way we run our juvenile justice system in the state of New York. We, in the past, have had an approach that was really focused on security, safety, and control, and we really weren't focused on what the developmental needs of these young people were and how we can provide them with the services and supports they need to reintegrate into the community. So this is about providing better services to young people that are caught in our juvenile justice system. We think that we would do better by these young people if we provide services closer to the community, if we wrap services around them and their families. We provide services like mental health, substance abuse services, better educational opportunities, counseling, jobs, job training. Those are the kinds of supports young people need to succeed. And primarily, we're focused on the low-level offender, nonviolent crimes. We think many of these young people don't need to be in our system.
So instead of incarcerating these juvenile offenders, they will stay at home and go to community-based support service programs?
That is the plan, to identify those young people that pose a very low risk in the community, that can be in their community safely from a public safety perspective. We have tools that can identify what the security risks are. We think that we can identify these young people that really don't pose a risk at all to the community, and we can provide services in the community or closer to home.
I don't know what the recidivism rate is. Maybe you can tell me that. But do you expect that ultimately you will reduce the number of kids who will end up back in the juvenile detention system as a result of this new approach?
That's been the experience of other states who really have moved in this direction. Currently, our rate of recidivism is 80%.
Wow. And so there is another state where this model has been tried. What's its track record?
Well, there have been a number of states, but Missouri is one that's been touted as having great success, and they've been able to reduce their recidivism rate by 30%. And they moved to more of a community-based model that didn't rely on big facilities spread out across the state. They really moved their facilities closer to the communities, the local communities where the children came from. They're more like group homes, smaller, and they really put a lot of funds in front-end diversion programs so that we could identify, and they identified, as many young people as they could that can remain safely in the community, receiving the kinds of services they needed to be able to transform their lives.
So far, as you've mentioned, we're talking about kids convicted of misdemeanors or lesser charges. Your plan leaves intact current facilities that handle teens convicted of felonies, more violent crimes. Do you have any plans to bring any of these changes to that population?
Well, the changes that we're envisioning for that population really is for those young people that have to be in facilities that have committed serious offenses, that we can transition them at this point safely back into their local communities. We want to make sure that for the time they spent with us, that they're getting the services they need. Because these children will come back home. I don't get to keep them forever. We need to make sure that we work with their families so that we make sure that they have a suitable home to return to. So we need to do better by these young people.
I mentioned in my introduction the November 2006 death of 15-year-old Daryl Thompson, who died in custody in the juvenile detention system. Knowing that you can't speak specifically to this case because there's an ongoing wrongful death suit, do you envision these changes helping to provide a safe space for kids in juvenile detention systems?
I think so. we've made great strides this year to ensure that we have reduced the number of restraints and that we really have beefed up our mental health services in our facilities. But I think that if we really focus on what the needs that these young people present, that we will not have these types of incidents in our facilities.
Gladys Carrion is Commissioner of the State's Office of Children and Family Services, which oversees the state's juvenile detention system. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this is WNYC.